Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Starting a big digital project without a proper plan, it kind of feels like setting off on a massive road trip with no map, no GPS, nothing.
Yeah, you'll end up somewhere probably.
Right, but it'll be slower, way more expensive, and honestly just more frustrating than it needs to be. So today, we're digging deep into exactly that, the Sitecore implementation plan. Sitecore is Well, it's an incredibly powerful platform, a real enterprise workhorse for creating these amazing digital
It
experiences.
really is.
But, with great power comes,
Complexity, right?
right? And that complexity means having a clear strategic plan is just, well, it's non-negotiable. If you want to get things done on time, stay within budget, and actually, succeed.
That's spot on, yeah. At its heart, Sitecore is what we call an enterprise digital experience platform, a DXP, and also a content management system, a CMS.
Okay.
But just calling it a CMS,
Yeah.
that really undersells it. Its flexibility, its powerful features. They let companies not just create and manage content, but really personalize it across every touch point.
Every touch point,
Like your website, mobile apps, email
No.
campaigns, all managed from one central place.
Yeah.
It's about delivering that cohesive, really individual experience.
Got it. So our mission today is really to give you a shortcut, sort of to getting well informed about this whole Sitecore implementation journey. We'll cover everything: architecture, post-launch stuff.
This whole life cycle.
Exactly, helping you understand the key decisions, avoid the common traps, and really get what success with Sitecore actually looks like.
Okay, so let's maybe unpack this a bit. For someone who's heard the name Sitecore, but maybe isn't, deep in the weeds with it every day, what exactly is it at a fundamental level?
Right. Fundamentally, Sitecore is built for creating highly personalized digital experiences, but at scale. It's an enterprise DXP, letting you tailor content across all those touch points we mentioned. Think of it like the central brain for a complex digital operation.
Okay, the brain. I like that. Architecturally, it's pretty sophisticated. It's modular, it's built to scale based on the .NET framework. So, definitely robust enough for big organizations. And one of the key design ideas is this clear separation between content management, the CM side, and content delivery, the CD side.
CM and CD. Okay.
So, the CM environment, that's where your content creators, your editors, your marketers, they all work. It's secure, it's behind the scenes, and it connects to the master database that holds all the content, all the versions.
Right, the working copy.
Exactly. Then you've got the CD servers. These are the public-facing ones. They deliver the published content to your users, pulling from the web database.
Okay.
And they often sit behind a load balancer, for high availability, good performance, even when traffic spikes. It's kind of like having a busy kitchen, the CM,
Yeah.
and a really efficient front-of-house team, the CD, working together smoothly.
That separation makes a lot of sense, not just for performance, but I guess security too, keeping that authoring side safe.
Oh, absolutely. Huge security benefit. Keeps your back end isolated.
So with those core parts, are there different flavors of Sitecore depending on what a company needs?
Yeah, great question. There are mainly two additions you'll bump into. First is Sitecore Experience Platform, or XP. That's the full package.
Next speak, okay.
It's got all the core CMS stuff, but then it adds powerful analytics, really advanced personalization tools, A/B testing. It's for companies that really want to dive deep into customer data and deliver those super targeted experiences.
Gotcha. And the other one.
The other one is Sitecore Experience Manager, or XM. This focuses more on the core CMS features, but without all those advanced marketing tools built in.
Okay.
And the strategic insight there really is that choosing between XM and XP isn't just about features, it's about asking.
Yeah.
Is your organization actually ready, culturally and technically, to use all that customer data for complex marketing stuff?
That's a key question. Okay, here's where, for me anyway, it gets really interesting, especially if you're making those big architectural calls early on. I hear a lot about different ways to build a Sitecore site. Can you walk us through the two main approaches? Traditional MVC versus headless. What are the big trade-offs you need to think about?
Yeah, this is often one of the very first and arguably most critical decisions you make. So the traditional MVC approach, model view controller, that's where your content and how it looks, the presentation, are pretty tightly coupled.
Tightly
You
coupled.
use ASP.NET, and a big benefit is it allows for direct in-context editing right there in the Sitecore interface. It can be simpler to get off the ground initially. The real insight, I think, with MVC is it offers potentially faster time to market for a specific known web experience where content and display are really designed together.
Makes sense for a straightforward website, maybe.
Exactly. Now, headless. That's a completely different philosophy. It totally decouples the content from how it's presented.
Okay, decoupled.
It uses powerful APIs, things like Sitecore JSS, which is their JavaScript SDK, and GraphQL, a flexible query language, to send content out to modern front-end framework. Think React, Next.js, Angular, Vue.
Ah, so the front-end developers have more freedom.
Huge freedom. And fantastic omnichannel delivery. That's the real kicker. You can serve the same content from Sitecore to your website, your mobile apps, maybe smart displays, kiosks, even channels that don't exist yet.
Wow, okay, future-proofing.
Exactly. You're making a strategic bet on future flexibility. But there's always a trade-off, right?
Oh, always.
It definitely adds complexity to the architecture. You've got more moving parts, and you do lose some of those really slick, native, in-context editing features that MVC offers. So it's about choosing.
Mm-hmm.
Are you building for a focused, maybe faster web launch now, or are you building a flexible omni-channel content engine for the long haul?
That really clarifies the strategic fork in the road there. Now, before anyone writes a single line of code, there's this crucial phase, pre-implementation planning. Why is doing that thoroughly so vital? What happens if you just, you know, rush it or skip ahead? Sounds like a recipe for disaster on that road trip.
It absolutely is. Yeah. Rushing into Sitecore without clear requirements.
Yeah.
It's like trying to build a house with no blueprints.
Right.
You're almost guaranteed to run into problems. Maybe build a few walls, don't connect. It just inevitably leads to scope creep, the project ballooning out of control and rework, doing things over and over. Both cost a ridiculous amount of time and money.
This planning phase, it's the bedrock, honestly.
So where do you start with that planning?
You start by defining the business and the technical requirements. This means getting all the stakeholders in a room, virtual or otherwise, and getting really clear on the objectives.
Like what specifically? Like, are you trying to boost user engagement? Enable personalization to drive sales? Support e-commerce across different countries? Manage multiple brand sites? Once you have those high-level goals, you drill down into the required features. Maybe a blog, a product catalog, advanced search, contact forms, specific personalization rules like show this banner only to people from California, multilingual content support, user logins.
Lots to consider.
Absolutely. And then crucially, you prioritize them. What's a must-have for launch? What's nice to have for phase two? That priority list guides everything. And beyond features, you got to map out how your content will be organized. What are the main content types? Article, product, landing page. What fields does each need? How do they link together? And who uses this CMS? Authors, editors, marketers, developers. What permissions does each role need? Because here's something often overlooked. Your content authors, how they structure content in Sitecore, can actually have a huge impact on site performance. So getting that content modeling right early on is vital.
That's fascinating. So it's not just what the site does, but how people use the back end matters for performance. Okay, that covers the functional side. But what about the practical nuts and bolts? Infrastructure, licensing.
Yeah.
Those sound like big, potentially expensive pieces during planning.
They certainly are. And yeah, let's talk budget reality. Here's a crucial insight for your financial planning. Sitecore implementations. They're typically a significant investment.
Define significant.
Well, initial licensing alone can often range from, say, $60,000 to $80,000 per year. And that's just the license. Implementation services, the actual development, design, integration work, often fall somewhere between $150,000 to maybe $300,000 for a mid-sized project. Plus, ongoing hosting, support, understanding this upfront is key.
Wow. Okay. Definitely enterprise level. Good to know upfront. What about the tech infrastructure side?
For infrastructure, Sitecore relies heavily on the search engine. It needs it for indexing content, for powering site search, so you have to pick your search provider. Since Sitecore 9, Solr's been the default. So you'll need a plan for setting up a Solr server, maybe a cluster for resilience. If you're big on Azure, their cognitive search is a good cloud option. And you could potentially use something like Elasticsearch, but that might require more custom work.
Right.
The key is planning its installation, configuration, getting the sizing right, like making sure Solr has enough RAM, and deciding cloud versus self-managed. Then there's the Sitecore license itself. Different editions, XM, XP, maybe XC for commerce.
Mm-hmm.
Most setups now use a subscription model, usually yearly, covering certain traffic levels and support. It's really important to get the right license type for what you actually need. No point paying for full XP if you only need XM's core CMS features right now.
Avoid overspending. Makes sense.
Exactly. And consider any add-ons too, like Email Experience Manager or Sitecore Commerce. Those might be separate line items.
That really highlights the enterprise scale and the need for that careful financial and tech planning from day one. So, okay, what does this all mean? Planning's done. We've got the blueprints. How do we actually start building the thing? What's the step-by-step?
Right, construction phase. Once the planning is solid, step one is setting up your development environment. This means actually installing the SiteCore version you need. Mm-hmm. Often you'll use something called the SiteCore Installation Framework, or SIFE.
SIFE.
Yeah, think of SIFE as like a smart script that automates the whole complex setup, installing SiteCore itself. Setting up the core, master, and web databases, usually on SQL Server, configuring that Solr search service we talked about. Mm-hmm. It helps ensure consistency, which is crucial. After the install runs, you apply your SiteCore license file. Then you verify everything's okay by logging into the SiteCore Launchpad. That's the main dashboard.
That works.
Yep. And finally, for this step, you set up your development tools, your project structure, typically a Visual Studio solution. And importantly, following SiteCore Helix conventions.
Helix.
Think of Helix as SiteCore's official best practice guide for organizing your code. It promotes modularity, maintainability, like having good city planning for your code base. Makes it much easier to manage and expand later, especially with bigger teams.
Got it. So laying a really strong organized foundation, what's next to make sure that technical backbone is truly solid?
Step two is configuring those databases and the search capability. These are absolutely critical for SiteCore to run well. You need to double check that the core, master, and web databases are set up and SiteCore can talk to them.
Okay, remind me what each does again.
Sure. Core holds SiteCore's own settings, security, user roles. Master is where authors work. All content versions live there. And web holds only the latest published version of content that your live website uses.
Right.
And if you're using the full XP platform, you'll also have an XConnect collection database. That's the beast that captures all the visitor interaction data for analytics and personalization, and a reporting database to feed your dashboards. Verifying connection strings is obviously key. And critically, setting up proper automated backup schedules for master and web, especially in production, is non-negotiable. Seriously.
Okay, backups. Got it. What about search?
For search, the index needs careful setup. If you're using Solr, you'll create several cores, basically separate indexes for different things, using the right schemas, usually via scripts SiteCore provides. Once they're set up, you kick off a full rebuild of all indexes in the SiteCore control panel. That populates them with your initial content, so search actually works from day one.
All right, environment is up. Databases are talking, search is indexing. Now we get to the fun part, right? Building the stuff users actually see and click on the front end. How does that work, whether you're MVC or headless?
Yeah, this is where the website starts looking like a website. First, inside SiteCore's content editor tool, you create your data templates. These are the blueprints for your content types, article, product, blog post, whatever you defined in planning. They dictate what fields each content item has.
Okay, defining the content structure.
Exactly. Then, if you're going the traditional MVC route, you'll be setting up layouts and renderings directly within SiteCore, tightly linking how things look to the content itself.
Mm-hmm.
But if you went headless, your focus shifts. You'll likely be working in a separate front-end application, say a React project using SiteCore JSS. You'd define React components that map to your SiteCore components, and they'll fetch their content dynamically using those APIs we talked about.
Gotcha. Different workflows.
Very different. But some things are common. You need to build navigation menus, usually by having a component query SiteCore's content tree structure. You need a search results page. For MVC, you'd use SiteCore's content search API. For headless, maybe an OData search API endpoint.
Okay.
And then, of course, the front-end developers take the UX UI, designs the mockups, and bring them to life with CSS or SCSS, JavaScript, HTML, making sure everything looks good, works on mobile, and it's accessible.
And for a lot of businesses, it's not just about content, it's about selling stuff. How do you integrate e-commerce features?
Right, e-commerce integration, that's a big piece, often complex. First decision.
Yeah.
What's your commerce engine? Are you using SiteCore Experience Commerce, XC, which is their own platform?
Okay, the native option.
Or are you integrating a third-party system, like Magento, Salesforce, Commerce Cloud, maybe even Shopify? If it's XC, it often gets installed alongside SiteCore. If it's external, you'll likely use SiteCore's Commerce Connect framework.
Commerce Connect.
Yeah, it's a set of tools and APIs designed specifically to help SiteCore talk to other e-commerce platforms.
Right.
Or you might build completely custom APIs for that connection. You figure out product data. With XC, your product catalog lives inside SiteCore. With an external system, you might pull product info live, or maybe, more typically, sync or cache some key product details into SiteCore so you can still use SiteCore's personalization and search on it.
Makes sense.
And finally, you build out the shopping cart and checkout flows. With XC, you use its specific APIs, With external systems, you'd probably build custom components or controllers in your Sitecore solution that securely talk to the third-party platform's API to manage the cart, process payments, etc. The goal is always a seamless experience for the shopper.
Yeah, you don't want the seams showing there. Okay, sounds like a lot of careful orchestration. So we've planned like crazy. We've built it all out step by step. What are those absolutely final critical steps before you hit the big red launch button? Testing and deployment?
Testing and deployment, yeah. They need military precision almost.
Yeah.
Before launch, number one, load all the real content and review it rigorously. Every page, every language version, every product description have to be right.
Content is king, even at launch.
Especially at launch. Then you run comprehensive tests. Functional tests, does everything work? Performance tests, is it fast enough? Security tests, are there vulnerabilities?
Mm-hmm.
And user acceptance testing, UAT. That's where your key business users actually try it out and formally sign off. Super important.
Get that stakeholder buy-in.
Absolutely. For the actual deployment, you need a super detailed plan. What code moves where, what content needs migrating, how do databases get updated? You do a final smoke test right before you flip to the switch, maybe change the DNS. The launch itself, ideally do it during low traffic hours. Definitely have a content freeze, no last minute changes. And then diligent post-deployment monitoring, watching logs, checking analytics are flowing, making sure integrations are working.
Right, always an and.
And the golden rule, always, always have a detailed, tested rollback plan. If things go pear-shaped, you need to know exactly how to get back to the last stable state quickly.
Phew. Okay, rollback plan, crucial. So launch day comes and goes, the site is live, but that's really just the beginning of a life cycle, isn't it? It's definitely not a set it and forget it situation with Sitecore.
Oh, absolutely not. No way. Post-implementation, that's where the ongoing value really starts to build. Your focus shifts to the maintenance, support, and critically continuous optimization. You know, many people see maintenance as just a chore, fixing bugs.
Yeah, keeping the lights on.
Right. But here's the surprising thing. The most successful Sitecore sites treat this post-launch phase like a continuous R&D lab.
Mm.
The real insight isn't just fixing bugs. It's relentlessly tracking things like microconversions, user journeys through the site, figuring out how to unlock hidden revenue or maybe cut down customer support calls because the site answers questions better. So yeah, you need a routine for maintenance. Check the logs, clear out publishing queues, keep an eye on database sizes, especially those XP analytics databases. They can grow fast. Rebuild analytics indexes sometimes to keep reports accurate. You need a clear support process. Who do you call? A partner. Sitecore support. And internally, keeping a knowledge base of common issues and fixes. Invaluable.
So keeping the engine tuned, but also looking for ways to get more horsepower out of it.
Exactly. Which leads right into scaling and A/B testing.
Mm.
As your site gets more popular, which is hopefully the goal, you need to make sure it can handle the load. That might mean optimizing code, not just adding servers. Maybe a specific component gets slow under pressure. You refactor it, add caching. Running regular load tests, maybe even quarterly, helps find bottlenecks before users do.
Proactive performance management.
Precisely. And for optimization, you lean into Sitecore's marketing tools.
Mm-hmm.
A/B testing is a classic. Try different headlines, different images, different button text. See what actually works best for your audience. It's about constantly tweaking and improving the user experience, which ultimately drives your business goals.
Okay, so wrapping this up, what does this all mean for you, the listener, as you think about or maybe even navigate your own digital projects? It's clear that a successful Sitecore implementation, well, it's a pretty significant undertaking, needs that careful strategic planning, skilled execution, and then that relentless ongoing improvement.
Indeed. It helps to be aware of common hurdles. For example, migrating from an older CMS. It's almost never a simple lift and shift.
Right.
Content structures are different. You need careful mapping, often rethinking how content is modeled. You're dealing with complex data migration, retraining users, making sure you don't kill your SEO rankings.
Whoa.
It's definitely challenging, but the payoff is getting onto a modern, powerful platform. On the flip side, a big plus. If you're operating globally, Sitecore has really strong support for multi-language e-commerce built in.
Oh, that's huge for global brands.
Totally. Multilingual product catalogs, different storefronts for different regions, handling multiple currencies, all manageable from one Sitecore instance, which can simplify things dramatically. And, you know, ultimately, given the complexity of the investment, many organizations find that partnering with experienced Sitecore professionals is just key.
Makes sense. Leverage expertise.
Yeah. A good partner brings that deep product knowledge, expertise, and things like the Helix architecture we mentioned, or maybe SXA Sitecore Experience Accelerator, which is a framework to speed up development, and they know how to leverage the latest features, like maybe AI-driven personalization or Sitecore's newer cloud offerings like XM Cloud. They ensure you're building on a solid foundation and actually get the results you're paying for.
That's a fantastic summary. It really underscores that Sitecore is incredibly powerful, but unlocking its true potential. Well, it isn't just about getting that initial build right. It's about that relentless pursuit of optimization afterwards and how you choose to continuously evolve your digital presence in a world that just keeps changing. So maybe a final thought for you listening. What aspects of this deep dive have sparked your imagination for your next project?